Welcome to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainable living and what that means to you and me. I'm Jay Warmke.
I'm Annie Warmke.
You are. And today we're going to talk about building a plastic bottle greenhouse, or if I could put time in a bottle. I just thought that was cute.
I thought you were going to say that their building looks like garbage.
No. That's our home.
Oh.
This is more a Jim Croce song. So
all right.
So, one of the projects we did long ago now at Blue Rock Station is we built a greenhouse using primarily 2-liter plastic bottles, and that's one of those projects that gathers quite a lot of attention because it's interesting, a bit weird, a bit odd. Uses garbage, which is nice. So why don't I let you describe the building a little bit?
Well, let's back up. And let's say, first of all, if people are interested and they're listening, they can find a booklet.
Well, if they are listening, they're interested.
Okay. If they're listening, they're interested. So is this my Gracie Allen moment?
Okay, go.
All right. Anyway, you can visit BlueRockStation.com, and we have a plastic bottle greenhouse booklet there in PDF form that will explain how you can build your very own greenhouse.
It has all the techniques, measured drawings, everything.
It does. It's really a great little booklet.
Quite a bargain.
Yes. But just to back up and say, where did all this start? So we went to Scotland, and we actually thought we might move there at some point. And we worked with a group there, Community Initiatives. That's not right.
Community Solutions?
Oh,
initiatives?
Maybe. But anyway, CSI.
Yeah.
Community Solutions Initiative. And
that's a name written by committee.
Yes, it is. Well, it's very bureaucratic, but it doesn't matter. Great group of people. And we did, I worked with them to help them get some money and do some marketing. And you pounded tires and made steps and helped them to make a really cool building there. And it was a Earthship kind of building. But they also had built a greenhouse with plastic bottles, and the goal of it was to enclose the black water treatment that they had, so it was a closed system. And we were really enthused about the whole concept of using the plastic bottles that way. And when we came back to Blue Rock Station, we decided that we would make a portable one that could be – it was built with metal tubifers, and then we could take it apart with – kids from school, and then they could put it back together.
Yeah, but it was a very clever idea.
It was a clever, we've had a lot of clever ideas.
And like most of our clever ideas,
it was a disaster. Okay, that was not a disaster. The reality was that we forgot why we started. And we put the thing together, and the wind came, and it blew all those 1,000 bottles, and I do not exaggerate, all over the place when it was cold. So we didn't learn our lesson. We put it back together, and then the next time a blizzard came. And in the most horrible snowstorm, I had to pick them up because they were too much work to have them float off into the abyss of life. Anyway, I said to you, why are we doing it this way? We built everything with rammed earth tires and thermal mass, and we made it so it lasts 100 years, and that's what we have to do with the plastic bottle greenhouse.
Right, so we did a tire foundation, which if we have time, we'll talk about near the end of this discussion. But when we talk about what is a plastic bottle greenhouse, I think a lot of people they're not able to visualize it. So what we're doing with these 2-liter plastic bottles is you cut the bottom of it off.
Right.
And then that bottom snugs over the top of the next bottle.
No. You're gonna say that
a couple of little slits, but yeah. I'm not entirely convinced that's required. It probably is, but
it is required.
It's just a little catch.
Just to argue the point. Having cut a million of these bottles, literally, I think, is that you want to make sure that the bottles don't fall down on the other bottle because that's going to change the wall. So right. everything needs to have a place to rest. And so you make a pointed slit on either side right. of the
so
bottle.
So you're snugging the bottle over top. You're making yes. a long cylinder. So yes. the very bottom bottle is left intact.
Yes.
So you leave the bottom on that. You just keep building these things up. And then for the very top bottle, you cut the bottom off, turn it upside down. It fits over
that's
the top.
Correct.
And you get this long cylinder of essentially enclosed air. And then you put these bottles next to each other, filling in. They're not load-bearing. They don't hold up the wall. They're just filling right. in between the load-bearing members. And then you have to have some way of...
Well, we can't put them in yet. We have to run wire. So we used mm-hmm. electric fence wire to make strips across. So we can stack the bottles down in there, and they're going to be held in place. And then we cut some little pieces of wire that we made for clips so we could attach the wire that's on the back to the wire that's in the front and tighten up the wall of the bottles. And they're all sitting in between 4x4s that hold up the roof.
And a 4x4 actually just happens to be the width of a 2-liter bottle.
That's yeah. right.
And actually, it's amazing because these things are quite solid. When you get those little clips in there, it really tightens up
yeah,
the wall. And
it all moves in one piece.
Keeps it solid. And I've stood inside the plastic bottle greenhouse in a very high wind, like 50-mile-an-hour winds, and you don't feel the wind inside, even
no.
though there's no – you would think there are gaps between these columns of air. You would
sometimes.
Think that there is going to be wind coming through. My own theory on that is that it creates a high-pressure system within that, so that the air
within
kind
the bottle?
Of no within the building.
Oh, in the building.
So it's like an airfoil. It the wind uh-huh. just goes around it.
Yeah, and so the building itself is really cute. It's a very artsy fartsy looking building, and when we built the greenhouse, then when we decided we were going to change our technique and say let's do it so it's going to last forever, we had a group of Montessori kids come from high school and spend the weekend with us. And in one day, after we did have the foundation in place, which were rammed earth tires, and I believe that was the only thing we had in place, so they helped us build the frame and then put the roof on, and then we made all the walls. We washed the bottles, got the labels off, cut the bottles so they fit on top of each other, and in one day, we built the greenhouse. And it was exciting, and the kids loved it. We've got a cute picture on our website of everybody standing in front of the plastic bottle greenhouse, and I don't think they'll ever forget that weekend.
Yeah, it was fun, and it's a good project. I think we've had a lot of different schools recreate this project at their schools
oh,
all
yeah.
over the
mm-hmm.
world. I mean,
yeah.
literally hundreds of these. And it's nice because the smaller kids can learn about recycling, reusing, reducing by collecting up the plastic bottles.
And they can take labels off.
Yeah, they take the labels off. They can clean them. You know, if you don't like the kids, give them a razor knife. They can cut them.
That's terrible.
That gets rid of overpopulation
yeah,
in the schools.
Yeah,
or
gets you
whatever.
Sued by everybody. You don't have to worry.
And then the older kids, the ones you don't like, they can pound tires. And then the ones you do like can build the building. And it's a nice.
You're wicked today.
This is, you got to use the resources you have. So, but it's a project that's manageable. You know, it's small enough. It allows unskilled labor to do a lot of different things. So
yeah.
it's a nice project for a school.
And then we also built an extension onto it that we used as a potting shed. And then it just became a catch-all for all the pots and everything. And
it's where we piled everything.
But it did also protect the one wall a bit because it gets hit pretty hard by the west wind.
Well, and Nicholas, our current intern, is turning that into what?
A meditation station.
Like what we're going to have to come up with a name like, I don't know, the Zen extension or something
well,
like that.
Well, meditation station works for the
meditation
moment.
Meditation station, yeah.
Yeah, that's
Blue Rock
right.
Station.
We're putting some little solar lights in there and some mm-hmm. place to sit, and it's going to be kind of cool. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about what are some of the uses of a plastic bottle greenhouse. And I love that little building. It's so versatile. It has a lot of potential. But one of the things that we did is we decided that the north wall is useless in any building. And so we created a straw bale wall in part of it, and we plastered that over with earthen plaster. And then there are two 55-gallon rain barrels that are sitting there that came from a soft drink company. So they were food grade. They held food to start with, not chemicals.
What passes for food?
Yeah, that's right. It is
syrup.
It is consumable. And so we can collect 110 gallons of water off the roof and hold it there. That helps with insulation, and it also gives us water for watering things, and that's cool. And it's also provided us with water sometimes when we needed it for the pasture. And it looks really cool. And then we have a mound that comes up to the bottom of the barrels in the straw bale. And we have planters all the way around. So we grow mint in part of it. We took feed bags and we filled them with clay and pounded them solid. And we made raised beds around there. And then on the front, we have red raspberries that are that produce two crops a year.
And I've often thought that, you know, a change in design, if I were going to do it again, would be to mound the earth all the way up the back.
Oh, yeah, the north side.
The
yeah.
north side, so that the north side of the building is completely encased in earth, so you get the benefits of thermal mass. Because right now there's no internal heat source in this building.
No.
It's just simply it's like a hoop house in that respect, where you can keep frost off building, you know, when the sun is shining, it's warm inside, but it will get down to the temperature of the outside air. But if you were able to use the thermal mass and always keep it above freezing, that would
know.
Be helpful.
I don't know if that would, if you could do it. But one thing you might be able to do, I would like to talk more about the use of the building, is you could have plastic jugs that are painted black that lay on their side, and you fill them with water. And water is the best insulation. So if you had a mound and then you had a way to keep that water with maybe a drop of antifreeze in it from freezing, then you would maybe have the ability to keep the building warm enough. You probably would have to have more mound come around the sides because you only want the sun when it's hot, when it's low in the horizon anyway. So you could even have a tin roof on it. And it would still work.
Right. I was going to mention when we did build it, we put one of those clear plastic roofs on. And that's kind of overkill because, in the summertime when the sun is shining, it gets intensely warm in there.
Well, we don't really use it then. But I'm just saying if we don't need to have the sun coming from the top because the sun, when we want it, is low in the horizon in the wintertime. So we get what we need. The idea of it is to utilize it to grow food three seasons of the year, and that would include partly the winter time. So we can talk about that in terms of all the different reasons we would use the building. So we want to do water collection, which I just talked about. We also can dry things in there. So we cut greens for the and leaves for the goats, and we dry them in there so that we have a supply for the wintertime. We also use it as a season extension, so we're able to grow greens in there in the fall. We have a big clawfoot bathtub that we grow things in and greens, and then we can keep those greens going until about Christmas time, and then we can cut the greens and put them in the fridge. But we don't kill anything yet. We don't dig it up or anything. And then what ends up happening, if we can keep it going over the winter, like not get it dried too dried out, we can hope for the beginning of March for all those greens to start coming back when there's more light during the day, more extended light hours, and it will produce another crop. And then we can transplant those in April out to the garden, and it'll give us another crop of greens.
Okay, well, you are listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke, reminding you it is indeed the end of the world as we know it.
And thank God.
Thank God. And today we're talking about Building a plastic bottle greenhouse. This is a project that we have at Blue Rock Station, which is really just making a greenhouse or a hoop house type building.
It's not a hoop house
type. Well, I like to call it a hoop house because I think most people think greenhouses have some sort of internal heat. And I guess this could.
Not necessarily, but it's not a hoop house for sure.
All right, we'll call it a greenhouse. And made out of 2-liter plastic bottles. And I think we counted one time. This one has about 2,000, you think?
I think it was around 1,500.
All right.
So either it's a lot.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just to point out that we got the fifth graders. There were four classes of the, I forget.
Anyway. Yeah, about 100 students.
Yeah. And it took them 2 weeks to collect up that many 2-liter bottles because at that time people weren't recycling
and
them.
It took them about 2 days to drink that much.
Yeah, maybe.
Soft drink.
So, but anyway, so, and also to say that it has a rammed earth tire foundation, which I think is significant. And then it has feed bags rammed with earth that create raised beds around the greenhouse. Mm-hmm. So, but let's talk about some other things that the greenhouse can do because we've had people all over the world build these little greenhouses. We've had, it becomes a season extension. So we can grow greens in the fall and perhaps even in the winter if we were a little more careful, and then certainly in the spring and early summer. And the reason that works so effectively is, first of all, we're able to keep the frost, which is in the form of snow or actual hard frost, off of the plants. And that is what helps us to keep things growing there. We also can start plants in there. So once it gets to be the beginning of March, we could start plants like beets and even potatoes and things like that. Yes, I know you love beets.
Beets, so beets, you can eat them all year long.
That's right. And so we can start some kinds of plants in there very early, and then we can also harden off plants, and that means that maybe we started them in a warmer situation, but we need them to get a little more hardy around the amount of light they're going to receive, and we don't want to burn them or scald them because they get too much sun, so we can harden them off there. And then certainly it's a place where in the wintertime we can store things. So as I said, we could store leaves that we've collected for the goats to have treats, or even other kinds of things that aren't even related to the to growing things, but just to have a place to store it out of the weather. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very versatile, useful building. And I will say that a lot of times people want to know about outgassing of the plastic bottles.
Well, yeah, that was one of the things that really surprised me with that particular building, because I really felt like when we built this, and we built it 12, 13 years ago, that these plastic bottles would deteriorate, would become brittle, would be affected by ultraviolet light. And they don't seem to.
Nope, I mean, they're in the same condition they were when we built it.
Yeah, which is kind of scary bad that these bottles do not deteriorate.
Well, I just want to say the bottles 13 years ago don't deteriorate. I'm not convinced that the ones today don't. They're much thinner, more like milk containers.
Well, when we did a project with milk jugs, those did actually pretty much turn to powder.
They were brittle. They became very brittle. They're not decomposing. They're just breaking down. And
the chickens seem to like to eat them.
Yeah, so we had to remove them. We had a shower house we made with them. And within 2 years, we had to dismantle all the bottles off of there and put something else there in its place.
But plastic bottles. And
Well, we didn't put plastic bottles because we want to take a shower and we don't want to provide a view.
Right. So it was slate, actually, there.
Yeah.
But now, one thing that a couple of structural or construction issues we didn't mention is the building will face south. You want to face
it a
little bit east of south. And I remember one of our interns did a calculation because you're putting these bottles over top, and he was kind of aghast that we had left the caps on these bottles, you know. And of course, you're using primarily clear bottles, and he calculated that we lost like 5% of the sunlight because of these caps, which I told him he was being a bit engineering Anyway, so you want to make sure you're using clear bottles and facing it east of south, so you get the light in the morning a little bit more.
Well, depending on where you're on in the earth, it's going to be different obviously. In different places.
And the front of the building is higher, so you're capturing more sunlight in the wintertime, getting it low.
One of your favorite techniques, though, is the idea that you're going to just build the wall. The width of whatever you're filling the space in with.
Oh, yeah. We had Jean-Philippe, who was one of our interns, from Corsica. And it was funny because this kind of points out the issue that we run into with some engineering students and engineers in general. We're constructing this building out of stuff that people are throwing away. So we're building or designing it. And he says, so how many centimeters apart are we going to put the supports? And I said, I don't know. You know, it's going to be 6 or 7 bottles. And he's like, but how many centimeters is that? I was like, Jean-Philippe, you don't care. You know, your new unit of measurement is bottles. You cannot change the size of a bottle. So we're going to be filling the space. And it kind of points out that when you are using materials that already exist in a world that's got too much trash anyway, you have to change your behavior, your units of measurement, your sizing parameters, not to some artificial centimeter, you know, the width of the royal little finger or whatever. You need to conform to what the materials are.
Well, it's not load-bearing, so that's the issue. And plus, you want it to look good. If it doesn't look nice, nobody cares.
Right.
So let's talk just briefly, because I want to talk about some other ideas we had about future uses of techniques in the building. But let's talk a little bit about the tire foundation first and how we created a way to use tires and clay to make a really solid foundation that we could attach the walls to.
And we use these tire foundations in a lot of the little buildings, straw bale buildings, and in this plastic bottle greenhouse building. And it really was a technique that came from our experience building the Earthship. So you're taking automobile tires, old, used, thrown away automobiles.
Not new ones, as some people come and ask about.
Say, do you use new ones? I say, oh, only Michelin, man, only the best. But no, you're
is
taking.
Is that the best tire?
I don't know. But you're taking things people are basically discarding. Right. Another item that doesn't deteriorate, doesn't go away. And we level the earth, lay these tires out in a rectangle or a square,
whatever the size of the footprint of the building.
Right, then. And mm-hmm. and there's some mechanisms on how you can get that squared up, but the best one is just measuring the diagonal. So you know it's going to be in at right angles, you know, in a perfect rectangle or a perfect square. If when you measure from one corner point to the diagonal opposite corner point, and then you do the other two, and when you get those measurements exactly the same length, your building is going to be squared up.
Right. I just want to say I have no clue what you just said, but I will say that in the plastic bottle greenhouse book that's available at BlueRockStation.com, you can look it up for those of you who need a little more visual than Jay is providing, because this is what drives me crazy.
This was the easy one. I was going to give you the Wizard of Oz one, you know, where, you know, when the scarecrow gets a brain and he says the sum of the sides of a hypotenuse triangle are equal to the sum of the square.
It's not funny.
All right. So these are the ways that you square up a building. So anyway, you lay this thing out. You fill the tires with earth. You pound
them. With clay. There's a difference.
Well, it can be. It doesn't have to be pure clay, but it has to be solid. You don't want sand. You don't want to pound sand. And you
you can't pound sand, I'm sorry to say.
That's what you tell people you don't like. Go pound sand.
So. Okay.
So anyway, so you fill these things up, you ram the earth, you build.
With a sledgehammer, you stand on top with a sledgehammer, and you pound the clay into the walls of the tire, and then you end up with a 300-pound brick, and that's what you want.
Right.
Just saying. That's the rest of it, because I'm visual.
After you have built this foundation, you put a little bit of plastic, just 6 mil plastic, lay it on top, because you don't want water wicking up through the foundation into the structure. Now, with this particular building, that's not a big deal. But with a straw bale building, it is a big deal. And then you put a sill plate on top of this.
Which
and
is a 2x6?
2x6s work, 2x8s, whatever. It's a wooden framing, and you attach that to the foundation by drilling holes in usually 3 for each board for the smaller buildings. Drive rebar down through the 2x4 or the 2x6 and the tires, and then bend over the last 6 inches or so. And that kind of staples the wood to the tire foundation. And then you build your building on top of that. You
right.
just frame it in, wooden frames, you know. And,
just traditional.
And do it however you want to build.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. And it's a beautiful little building when it's finished. So let's just talk about a couple of things that we think would be interesting to do differently that we've looked at. One of them is I thought it would be very cool and would enable me to utilize the building in the summertime if I needed it for something, like for drying things, fruits and things like that. If I had one of those or two of those automatic vents that open, because when the sun hits it, there's some kind of a gas that they have in a tube, and it causes the window to open when there's a certain temperature, and then it closes very slowly when it reaches a lower temperature.
And they have some that are solar powered.
That's what I'm talking about, but it has the gas in it.
Or mm-hmm. or they just have little motors.
Oh,
little
they have
DC
motors,
sure.
Oh, I haven't seen those.
Sure. Hey, we have the technology.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then that would enable a convection of air so that you could actually use it. And then also, I had mentioned before, but I think it would be way cool to imitate from a book I saw on solar greenhouses. A guy, he had taken these jugs, and they were pretty good size, and he painted them black and filled them with water and laid them on their side and created basically a solar thermal bank to heat the greenhouse. And that would be nice to have some way to keep it a bit warmer, at least a little above freezing. Then there's a lot of greens you could grow in that situation. Did you have any other ideas about how to use it?
We talked about, and this is maybe a little outside some other folks' comfort level, but you could do deep bed manure in the bottom of it if you wanted to.
Oh, like a cold frame.
And then in the wintertime, it would generate heat as that manure is composting.
Yeah, you that'd be cool.
And that becomes an internal heat source.
I also thought about making storm windows out of some kind of plastic that you could cover the bottles from the outside. That would help if you had a little bit of a heat source.
Yeah, I always think of that as a little bit of cheating, though, because then why do you need the bottles? I mean, they
do
add some insulation.
No, you do need the bottles. But either way, I think it's a cool building. It was a fun project. We found it to be incredibly useful and a good talking point for people who are interested in living more sustainably.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. We want to thank our award-winning producer, Adam Rich, and we want to thank you for spending just a little bit of time with us. And as your grandmother hopefully, probably, delightfully told you, the secret to a happy and sustainable life is...
play nice with others, clean up your own mess, and Jay, I hope you eat your vegetables this week.
Eat my vegetables that have been grown in a plastic bottle
greenhouse. Oh, that's so
right.
cute.
Until next time.
Mother Earth will sing, and her children will be healed.
You can find more information on living sustainably in our unsustainable world at BlueRockStation.com.